Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
You're listening to Down to Agribusiness with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello and welcome to this week's Down to Agribusiness podcast. I'm joined by my colleague Lorcan Roach Kelly to discuss the various issues in the world of agriculture this week. And first and foremost, Lorcan, if I can ask you, you launched your first KPMG report this week. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, first, the KPMG and Irish Farmers Journal's 10th report, but the first one I had my hand involved in. Yeah, it's a really exciting, interesting report. What we did this year was we picked five kind of regional towns in Ireland, ones that are very much surrounded by agriculture. The five towns are Cookstown in the north, Ballyhaunis, Cavan, Ennis, Corty, and Charleville in County Cork are the ones in the public, and we just kind of get a kind of a cross section of Irish agriculture. And like, so the towns are kind of decent sized towns. We went into them, did a survey, looked around, but one of the biggest things that people see in this report is, with the help of KPMG, we worked out the economic impact of agriculture on these towns. And the numbers, when you sit down and crunch the numbers are very large. I think if we look at Charleville, the one closest to me down here in County Cork, like, it's 1.7 billion euros a year agricultural activity brings into Charleville and its surrounding area. And the employment is 13,100 people, either directly or indirectly employed in agriculture in a town, and the what we call the 30 kilometer circle around it. So the idea of the report was to kind of put numbers on the size of agriculture in town and just remind policymakers as well that agriculture is Ireland's largest indigenous industry. It's not going anywhere. And if you look after it, you can have the Googles and the Twitters and the Facebooks come and go, but agriculture is always going to be here, and it needs to be looked after, because if you look after it, you will have this growth in the economy for pretty much as long as people need to eat, which people need to eat for a long time. So that's our kind of the headline thing. The full report is in this week's Farmers Journal. I'm sure everyone's read it, and we'll talk about it next week or in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, I just want to pick up there, Lorcan. You highlighted Charleville, County Cork, but the same can be applied to the rest of the towns across the rest of the country as well, that it does make a huge economic contribution, and it's a huge employer of people across farming, food processing, and indeed the service or supply industries.
Absolutely. It's like there's so many knock-ons, because the one great thing about agricultural spending is that farmers spend in their own locality. So, like, you know, there's an old saying, I think the rule of thumb was, for every 10 euros a farmer gets, he spends 9 euros in the local economy. So you get this kind of real circular effect where money moves around the local, and it's great for the local economy and great for the employment and great for the growth in the area. But the one thing it does, because the euros are so tightly bound in around the local village, they're maybe not so visible on a national level, as in policymakers will walk around Dublin City where most policy decisions are made, and they will see the large glass towers of Google and Facebook and say, oh, that's where the economy is, that's where the growth is. And they may lose sight of the fact that actually an awful lot of economic activity is happening in these small towns scattered around the country. So that's, again, why this report is here. It's said, look at this. Don't forget about this. This is
and,
really important.
And of course, there's a copy of the report with this week's print edition of the Irish Farmers Journal and online as well. So you no doubt you'll be encouraging our readers to take a look at that.
Right. Well, you need no encouragement. They know good the good news when they see it. They'll run to it.
Moving on, also, Lorcan, I just see in terms of the page that you're covering in the paper this week, you've revisited the fertilizer imports issue, whether or not we can import from Russia. What do you found there? What's the latest?
I tell you, because we talked to several people that last week just about importing from Russia and how much difficulty the people were saying it's quite a difficult thing to get their heads around and figure out how to do it. So I did some investigating myself and I found, talked to people in the Department of Agriculture, Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment, the Department of Foreign Affairs and the Irish Central Bank, because believe it or not, all these organizations are involved. And because there's different kinds of sanctions, there's what's called trade sanctions, which is comes under the auspices of the Department of Agriculture, Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment, not agriculture. And they will tell you how much you can import or not, or whether the goods are sanctioned. But also you can go to the Department of Foreign Affairs on the fertilizer one at the moment, because there is a quota for Europe overall, and that quota is managed centrally by the European Commission. So you need to get permission from them to make sure there's enough space in the quota. And then if you can get enough space in the quota, you can get the trade to say you can import stuff. You don't have to figure out if you can pay for it. And the figure, if you can pay for it, you need to go to the Irish Central Bank, and they will tell you if the person that you are dealing with is sanctioned or not, which sounds difficult enough. But also you can get derogations from sanctions for trade in goods and derogation of sanctions for actually paying for stuff, which you can ask the central bank for, or you can get done through the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment. So the clarity that's there, there's literally no clarity there at all, as far as I can see, because if you ask the Irish Central Bank, they will say, yes, we can, we'll you can apply for a derogation from the sanctions, but it takes several weeks and it could take even longer. So you've no idea kind of how long it'll take. You've no idea if derogations are forthcoming or not, because they don't talk about individual cases. And it just all ends up being quite difficult, I'd say, to find your way through it as an import who just wants to buy stuff and buy from foreign and sell it. Yes.
Yeah. Can we assume, but Lorcan, that look, if an Irish importer of, say, fertilizer manages to get a load of fertilizer on a boat from Russia into an Irish port, that he will have to have an arrangement to pay for it. Can we assume safely then that he has done that properly, that he has complied with the sanctions, he or she has complied with the sanctions, and are therefore in a position via the central bank, whoever it is, to honour that deal? Is that possible? Can we be as specific as a yes and no on it, or does the answer just have to be maybe?
And I think, like, until anybody can prove any different, the answer has to be yes, because this is something that's definitely been watched by all these organisations. And even if you take the Irish Central Bank over, like, is it the one, like, if you say, if the trade sanctions, if it's allowed under trade sanctions under the quota, then that's fine. And then to pay for it, you might say the Irish Central Bank is in charge of the payment, but they're not. The Irish Central Bank will let you pay someone who is sanctioned if they give you a derogation. But aside from that, the Irish banks themselves are very keen to stay on the right side of any sanctions legislation. So if the bank, commercial bank, thinks you are making a payment to a sanctioned individual, they will not allow you to make the payment. They will not be involved in that transaction at all. So I think it's safe to say that 80 fertilizers being imported from Russia, and there's been a lot that's come in this year, has gone through the correct channels and has been done correctly, because it would be so difficult to do it any other way. And if you did do it the other way, you'd certainly be... I think you'd be found out very quickly.
Okay. Just moving on then across other issues. I see Kerry and Glanbia have had interim reports out this week. You've been taking a look at those as well. Do you want to give us a quick summary?
I think, well, we've had a few pieces online about these, right? But I think the thing that's interesting is they had fairly strong results, but the market don't seem that impressed. The investor buy into the shares just isn't there. Like, Glanbia's trading under 11 euros a share for most of the week, and we saw Kerry's well under €90 a share as well, down kind of both companies in around their year to date lows, which is not where a company wants to be. And when you produce results that show you've had growth in the first last three months and the first 9 months of the year, then you expect some rebound. But when you look at the growth itself, you see the growth is mostly driven by price and not volume. By that I mean they're not selling more stuff, they're just charging more for the stuff they're selling, because they're trying to pass through costs that they have themselves onto the consumer. And it's a very positive sign that they can do this, that they can pass through their costs and their volumes fall. That is something that I think investors are very keen on. But I think what investors are nervous about is, like, we have to wait to see where inflation goes. Like we're still in the middle of inflation. And if it goes up to 10-15% in the next year, or even stays high for the next year or two, then that pricing power starts to get eroded as people's pocketbooks get smaller and smaller. They have less money to spend. So I think investors are probably positive on the companies, but they're not necessarily willing to jump in and start putting more money at work in either of these companies at the moment, because they need a better outlook on where inflation is. And markets generally globally are quite nervous at the moment. So I think maybe the companies are having a bit of bad luck from stuff that they can't control. And maybe if there's some management changes that perhaps need to be made, particularly at Glanbia, maybe where there's some activist investors involved in trying to get the company to break up a small bit to maximize shareholder value there.
Yeah, that actually, Lorcan, ties in with what I was looking at this week. I was dipped into the export data for the first 8 months of the year, January through to the end of August, to look at comparing it, how it done with, relative to 2021, using Board BIA data. And again, we have had a huge growth in dairy exports, up 35% in value terms, which is good, to over 3 billion euro. But when you look at the volume increase there, now it's still a strong performance, but it's only a 13.5%. percent increase in volume. And it's the same with beef. You know, if you look at the beef export volume, it's up 13.5%, and yet the value of it increase is more than double that, to 1.68 billion, almost 1.7 billion euro. So you can see there that the trend in terms of the value of Irish exports in the agri-food sector is more value-driven than volume-driven, and that reflects inflation. It's not that we have discovered a new way of adding value, some new magic formula. The reality is that global agri-food prices have been higher in 2022, and we have picked up the benefit of that. And I think that's, again, what you're seeing in relation to the Glanbia Kerry performance. They have rode that wave as well.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's to be important to point out as well, so you look at the global exports of agriculture from Ireland, is that a lot of the stuff is priced in dollars in the global market, and the euro has been very weak against the dollar. So there is an extra uplift there as well, where if we can sell it, have a fixed dollar price, we're getting more euros just from the fact that the euro is weaker against the dollar. So that's obviously a big kind of tailwind as well to a lot of these results this year. And I think maybe, as we see next year and the year after, wait out, if the dollar comes back in line with euro, or the euro gains some strength against the dollar, I think we might see some challenges to some company bottom lines in the next year or two. But as you say, right now things are looking good. All the headline numbers are good. I'm reading your report here, and it's like, I think everything is looking good. Like, maybe if we're looking for some kind of some sign of some worries, like, the pig meat sector hasn't done brilliantly, I think, this year so far. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that other than that, it's really looking well. But dairy, again, is still such a standout performer.
The reality for the pig meat sector, it's still suffering from the hangover, if you like, of the collapse in imports by China. China had their disease problem back starting in 2019, and they became major global importers of pig meat from all around the world, including Ireland. But that has fallen right back to about 1 million tons this year. So that is going to mean that global demand is really reduced for export. And of course, Ireland being an exporter, it hits that. And that sector has been hit particularly hard, not just from the selling side, but also from the cost side, which of course is a drag on all of the sectors of the agri-food industry. That has to be kept in mind as well. Yeah. Finally, this week, Lorcan, just to wrap up very quickly, world population caught your eye as well. We're going to hit 8 billion people.
Yeah, there's this fantastic website you can go on. I think it's the World Population Watch or something. And it just has a countdown on it to when the global population is going to hit 8 billion. And it's going to hit 8 billion at 9 a.m. on Tuesday next, apparently. So it seems rather arbitrary, but I will go with that. But I think there's kind of a much more important point there. If you look at the history of global population, going back in the last 70 or 80 years, in the mid-1950s, global population was 2.5 billion. And by the middle of this century, it's going to hit 10 billion. So that's a quadrupling of the number of human beings alive in 100 years, which is an astonishing statistic. And what that statistic means for us as for the agriculture industry is that there is going to be an awful lot more mouths to feed, and they will need to be fed by as much protein as we can give them, because that's what people need to live on. So I think it's kind of the next, kind of take a longer view, the next 20, 30 years is going to be that huge policy challenge of how do we look after the climate and feed an extra 2.5 billion mouths. That's a challenge.
Yeah, that's the $6 million question. Of course, the point is made also by the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations and their 10-year outlooks. Across every single commodity that we export, the global demand in 2032 is forecast to be significantly higher than it is at present. So, that is the reality of life, that demand is there. The challenge, of course, as you said, Larkin, is how do we supply that and at the same time reduce the emissions and protect the environment, and that's the challenge that faces us as a society. Anyway, that is where we are. That's a quick run through of the feature topics that we've covered in this week's Irish Farmers Journal. For more, obviously, pick up a print copy this Thursday, or indeed go to farmersjournal.ie and go into the agribusiness section there to pick up on all of the latest agribusiness news. Join you again next week. Thanks very much, Larkin.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.